Praise the Lord. Are you awake? I said, praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to our leaders' development meeting tonight in Jesus' name. And I pray that the Lord has brought you and he has a purpose, a goal to train you, develop you, move forward, go up. It will be fulfilled in your life in Jesus' name. And the verses we read, and the chapters we look at, and whatever the Spirit of God has for you, it will get to you. It will penetrate your life. And you will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this hour and for this moment. Thank you, Lord, for all your servants, all your, our leaders, all our overseers everywhere as we're gathered together. We're asking, Lord, that today you lift up your people in Jesus' name. The ministry you have given us, Lord, we pray, will make progress in that ministry in Jesus' name. Glorify yourself in every life and in every ministry. And we pray, Lord, we'll not be weak, we'll not be tired, we'll not be weary, but we'll move on in the strength of the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Confirm your word in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A good, good amen. Tonight we come to Matthew chapter 12. And I'm reading from verse 22 all through to 25. Matthew chapter 12, reading from verse 22. Then was brought unto him, unto Christ, unto Jesus, a savior, a healer, a deliverer, a redeemer. Every case we have, every challenge we have, every traumatic situation we have, we bring ourselves to Christ. He's still the same, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will solve our problems. He will solve your own problem. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both speak and saw. Then in verse 23, it tells us, and all the people were amazed. They were surprised, and they were filled with joy, and said, is not this the son of David? In verse 24, but normally when you see that kind of word, but, the multitudes were happy, the generality of people, they were happy, and they were amazed, they were surprised that such a miracle could take place, the dumb speaking, at a moment of time, not a process, gradually, little by little, he spoke the word, and the power of the word took effect on that one that was dumb. And so the people, having never seen anything like that before in religion, with the Pharisees, with the Sadducees, that this could happen at a moment of time, they were amazed and they were happy. But the religious traditionalists, but the people that didn't possess and didn't have that kind of ministry, instead of being happy with the multitude, instead of being joyful with the multitudes, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And then we're told in verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Division brings defeat. Every kingdom, every church, every community, every city, every house, every family divided against itself. One part is going this way, they were amazed and happy and they glorified God. The other part is going the other direction, they were filled with envy and jealousy. And so Jesus said, take heed, because every kingdom, every group of people, every society, every city, every house, family divided against itself will collapse, will be defeated, will not stand. And then we've read the whole chapter during the time of the scripture preparation. Let's look at verse 46 now. In verse 46, it says, while he yet talked to the people, Christ was preaching. That's what he came to do on earth. He was teaching the people. That's what he came to do. That's what the Father sent him to do. And while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. What do you think? A doctor is performing an operation and is treating the patient, and the mother and the brother and the sisters, they come, will want to see him. What do you expect? Will he leave the operation table and go and attend to mother and brothers and sisters? Of course, no. A pilot is wanting to fly the aeroplane, and as he's about to go, and he said, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, they're waiting, they want to talk to you, and we don't know how long that will take. It's not going to leave what he ought to do. And the people of the world, they're doing something significant, something helpful, something to move the nation forward. And then somebody says, your mother, your brothers, your sister, they're waiting for you, they want to talk to you. They're not going to leave what they did. Christ, our Savior, Christ, our teacher, Christ, our Redeemer, he was at the very center of doing what the Father had called him to do. And then they said, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, they're waiting, they want to talk to you. Verse 47. In verse 47, then one said unto him, behold thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. If you were, what will you do? Because you must remember that now we walk in the steps of Christ. We teach like he taught. We lead like he led. We move like he moved. And we are in the ministry. We are engaged in the ministry like he was engaged in the ministry. Watch him looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What he did, how he did it. That's the way we're to carry on and be engaged in the work of the Lord today. And so then one said unto him, behold thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Verse 48. In verse 48, then he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother in comparison with the heavenly Father? Who is my mother in comparison with the one who has sent me? And who are my brethren in comparison with the God of heaven? In comparison with the ministry the heavenly Father has put into my hands? he wasn't going to leave the ministry and attend to them. And then in verse 49, he reveals his very heart unto us, and he reveals where our priority should be, where our concentration should be, and where our devotion, our consecration will have meaning. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. Look at verse 50. In verse 50, for whosoever shall do, not that they profess, not that they just talk, not that they just say, you know, pretend to be, whosoever, a Jew, a Gentile, whosoever, a man, a woman, whosoever, anyone that comes to him and is converted, and is consecrated, and is committed, and is committed to doing the will of God, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. I pray that the word will have a sitting place, settled place in every one of our hearts, in Jesus' name. Tonight, as we look at this, extended passage, we're looking at the treasure of transformed tongues in his family. The treasure of transformed tongues in his family. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the thoughts that trap transgressors in misery. The thoughts that trap transgressors in misery. Number two, the tongues that twist the truth in his miracles. Number three, taking the teachable and the transformed as true members. Taking the teachable and the transformed as true members. Let's look at number one. Number one, the thoughts that trap transgressors in misery. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the thoughts of unbelief and blasphemy. Number two, the tie of unbelievers with Beelzebub. Number three, the treachery of the unconverted against the begotten. That's against Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Let's look at number one. Number one, the thoughts of unbelief and blasphemy. We're looking at it from Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. Matthew chapter 12, reading from verse 24. And when the Pharisees heard it, they heard about the miracle. They heard about the deliverance. They heard about the dumb and the deaf hearing and speaking. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow, can you imagine, referring to the very Son of God, this fellow, when people are filled with tradition, with religion that cannot save, when people are filled with their own ways and their own thoughts, they will refer to anyone, even the beloved Son of God, as this fellow. They said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. If you are sick, you better not listen to those Pharisees. If you are depressed, if you are oppressed, you better not listen to those Pharisees, because they will take the work of God and attribute it to the devil. They'll take the miracle manifestation of the Spirit of God, an attribute that to Beelzebub. And then in verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts. He knows our thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. Actually, our actions do not tell the whole story about us. The thought behind the action. Actually, our speech, our utterance does not tell the whole story about us. It's the thought behind the speech. Actually, our look on our faces, our looks do not tell the whole story about us. It's the thought behind the look. Actually, the flattery and the appreciation and the things that people say, those things do not tell the whole story. It's the thought behind the speech, behind the utterance, behind the action that tells the story in the presence of God concerning us. Actually, our testimonies of salvation. I am saved, I am sanctified, I am baptized in the Holy Ghost. All that does not tell the whole story. The thought in our hearts, the thoughts in our mind, is the thought that shows God who we really are. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Verse 26, it says, if Satan cast out Satan, is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? That's obvious. In verse 27, it says, and if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children? Because you remember, this is chapter 12. In chapter 10, he had given power and authority to his disciples. Those disciples were Jews, and they were children of the Jews. That's why he said, all right, I cast out devils, and I sent all those 12 two by two, and everywhere they went, they cast out devils. Tell me, if I am casting out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Verse 28. In verse 28, it says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. You can enter if you repent. The kingdom of God is come unto you. The very fact that I cast out devils, I heal the sick by the Spirit of God, is an evidence to you that the kingdom of God is come. The King is here. He reigns in authority. He reigns in power. The very fact that you know that the King is reigning over the kingdom of the devil, makes you to know if the King is here, the kingdom is come and is for you. The kingdom is come unto you. Will you be saved? You'll have the opportunity. And will you be free from all the powers of the devil? You'll have the opportunity. The kingdom is come unto you. Verse 29, it says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? He had power to bind the strong one. You have power to bind the strong one. I said you have power to bind the strong one. how he that believeth in me, the works I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. If he ask anything in my name, I will do it. He will answer your prayer. As you believe, and when you believe, and you pray for those that are deaf or dumb, they have this incurable disease or that incurable disease, as you pray for them, they will get healed. Then he said, you bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Look at verse 30. In verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me. Now you cannot be neutral in what the Lord is doing. I'm neutral. I'm neither there nor here. I'm neutral. I'll not pray about what is going on. I'm neutral. I will not contribute to what. I'm not opposed to what they're doing. Only I am neutral. No, you cannot be. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Verse 31, he then says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. What does that mean? He had said, if I cast out evil spirits by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So the work of the Spirit of God, casting out devils, healing the sick, delivering the oppressed, breaking every yoke, removing the curse, is the work of the Spirit. But they took that work and attributed it to Beelzebub, that sin against the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And he said, if you were to talk against me directly, alone, you repent, you'll be forgiven. But if you take the work of the Spirit, the miracle, the signs and the wonders, and the healing and the deliverance, if you attribute that to the devil, that sin against the Holy Spirit, and sin against the Holy Spirit has no forgiveness here in this world or in the world to come. He was warning them to be very careful, to be very thoughtful, and not allow their opinion of religion to carry them away and commit any sin that never has forgiveness. Look at number two here. Number two, the tie of unbelievers with Beelzebub. Now, these people that said that Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, these people that said that Christ was associated, affiliated, and united with Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, they themselves were the people who were associated and affiliated with Beelzebub. John chapter 8, we're reading from verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye of your father the devil. They were accusing him. You know, when a thief is hiding behind the ignorance of the people, and is pointing to an innocent man, and he said, that's the thief. And then the one is accusing of the thief being innocent and pure and spotless and righteous. He turns around, he said, okay, now that you have said what you shouldn't have said. I'm going to expose you. You are the thief. That's what Christ did here now. You. He says, ye of your father the devil, and the works and the laws of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. They themselves, they were of the devil. They were the people that tied themselves, associated themselves, and integrated themselves to Beelzebub and the works of the devil. And then they were pointing an accusing finger to the innocent Christ, who was healing the sick and delivering the oppressed. I pray you will not be like that. You will not belong to the devil. I will not belong to the devil. Why should we belong to the devil? He has given us all things. He gave us salvation. He gave us sanctification. He gave us the power of the Holy Ghost. He gave us the power to heal and the power to deliver. He writes our name in the book of life, and we're joint heirs with him. And if we have all things given unto us, why will we carry ourselves to the devil? What are we looking for? We have everything we need. I have everything I need. You will not go to the devil. You will not have secret power from the devil. The supernatural power you have already, that's enough. You whip the devil any corner, anywhere he meets you, in Jesus' name. Look at number three here. Number three here. We're looking at the treachery of the unconverted against the only begotten Son of God. It tells us in Zephaniah chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 4. Zephaniah chapter 3, we're looking at verse 4. It says, her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Those people, they claim to be masters of the law, and they claim to be teachers of the people, and they claim to be priests and preachers among the people, but they were treacherous. Our prophets are light and treacherous persons. Our priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. They have taken the law of God, they have turned that apart, they've turned it upside down, and they have misinterpreted, misrepresented God, the lawgiver. He tells us in verse 5, it says, the just Lord is in the midst thereof, and he will not do iniquity. Christ will not do iniquity. God will not do iniquity. The Holy Spirit will not do iniquity. And the people who are possessed with the Holy Ghost, they will not do iniquity. Every morning does he bring his judgment to light? He faileth not. He faileth not. He will not fail in your ministry. He will not fail in your undertaking, your endeavors. The works of your hand will prosper. Your ministry will prosper. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. The unrighteous knoweth no shame. The unconverted knoweth no shame. Look at those Pharisees, powerless Pharisees, traditional Pharisees, and they were not ashamed that they were fruitless in their ministry. Nobody came into the kingdom of God through their ministry. And then Christ, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. They were not ashamed to criticize him. The unjust knoweth no shame. You will not be like that. the word of God and the truth of God will abide with you as you minister, and you care for the people, and you love the people, and you bring them to the Lord in Jesus' name. In Luke chapter 11, verse 52. Luke chapter 11, verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye have taken away the key of knowledge. They had mutilated, defiled, destroyed, misinterpreted the knowledge of the truth in the old covenant. They took away the key of knowledge, the key that opens the door for us to have understanding, for us to have insight, for us to have a proper faith in the Lord. They took away the key that opened the door to knowledge. Ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves. They were not born again. They were not saved. Their lives showed that. Their rigidity showed that. Their self-righteousness showed that. Their talk, the criticism of their mouth showed that they did not enter into the kingdom themselves. And them that were entering in, ye hindered. That's why he said, woe unto them. I will not be like that. You will not be like that. You will enter into the abundance of the kingdom, and then you bring others to enter in joyfully, excitedly, by faith. You'll not be a hindrance to the people who need the blessings of God in Jesus' name. We're looking at point number two. Point number two, we're looking at the tongues that twist the truth in his miracles. Well, already you know the passage. After they saw the miracles and they saw the great wonders of the Lord, their tongue twisted the truth concerning the miracles of Christ. Three things here. Number one, the perversion and twisting of his miracles. Number two, the perverseness and trampling on his message. They trampled on the message of Christ. Number three, the pain of turning from their own mercy. They turned away from their own mercy by their attitude, by their utterance, by their speech, by their action. Number one, the perversion of twisting is miracles. In number one, he tells us in Luke, reading from chapter 11, reading from verse 14, Luke chapter 11, verse 14, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass when the devil was gone out. If you speak in the name of the Lord, the devil will come out. Dumb devil will come out. Afflicting devil will come out. Deaf devil will come out. If devil of infirmity, spirit of infirmity, they'll come out in Jesus' name. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. And they were told in verse 15, but some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. Verse 16, and others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. What other sign were they looking for? Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 35 that the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak, that lame will rise up and walk, and then there'll be an highway. And highway of holiness. It says the unclean shall not pass over it. But then the redeemed and ransomed of the Lord shall come. With singing and joy from their mouth. They had seen the sign already. The sick getting healed. The demonized getting delivered. That's a sign from heaven. And now they were saying, show us a sign. They were perverse in their hearts, and they twisted the miracles of the Lord. And look at John chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 37. John chapter 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. What sign were they looking for again? He had done many miracles among them, yet they believed not on him. Look at John chapter 15. I'm reading from verse 24. John 15, 24. If I had not done among them the works that none other man did, from the foundation of the world until the time of Christ, the miracles he did in a few days, the miracles he did in the span of the years of his ministry, no man in the old covenant had ever done any miracles like that. Put all the prophets together, all those prophets, everything he did, no man among them or all of them together had ever done that, and yet he came and did all that. Now, they have no excuse. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now, have they both seen and hated both me and my father? And they were told in verse 25, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. How could you hate a person like that? He forgave sinners. The people, they said, Moses said, we should stone her. What do you say? I forgive her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And the people that were sick, they brought them from all over, from their villages, from the surrounding, and they cast them at his feet, and he healed all of them. Lazarus, that was dead for 4 days, he came there, and without touching anything, just said, take here away the stone. And then he spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth. How could they hate anybody like that? The depravity of the heart, the sinful nature in their heart, the Adamic nature in their heart, and the nature of the devil in their heart made them to do that. But now they had no excuse. We who have come to the Lord and were born again, and he has taken away that might of the devil, he has taken away that depravity from our heart, and he cleansed us, and he purged us, and he purified us, and we do not have the nature of the devil in us anymore, we cannot be like the Pharisees. We will not be like the Pharisees. We will not talk like the Pharisees. It's done so much good in our lives, in our families, in our church, and even to the people out there. All over the world, it's done so much. It's done it in our church. It's done it in other churches. It's done it through our ministers. It's done it through other ministers. All we can say is, glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Look at number two here. Number two here. Their perverseness and trampling of his miracle. Let's look now at John chapter 10. We're looking at verse 20. John chapter 10, verse 20. And many of them said, he has a devil. They were like parrots. What their leader said, that's what they said. They didn't understand. Like parrots. What Pharisees, Sadducees said, he has a devil. They also chorused that. There are people that don't have any mind of their own. They cannot think with their own mind. What others have said, that's what they parrot. There are people, they cannot see with their own eyes. What the Pharisees have said, that's what they parrot. There are people, they cannot walk with their own legs. They cannot reason with their own brain. And you're like that, you've not found anything wrong in the Christ of Calvary. The Christ, our Savior. The Christ, our Redeemer. And what you read from those people that, you know, write some things now. God does not heal today. Christ does not heal today. And if there's any healing, it is coming from the devil. You read it from the books of those Pharisaic theologians. And then you parrot that. Why don't you have a mind of your own? Why don't you go to the Bible? Why don't you read the promises? Why don't you know that Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever? Now, if they say there are no more miracles today, I'm asking them now, is salvation a miracle? They say yes. It's the greatest miracle to change the life of a man and turn the heart of a man unto God. I said, okay, if salvation is a miracle, are people getting salvation today? Yes, yes, yes. Then the age of miracles have not passed. God is still working miracles. Does God answer prayers today? They say yes. You know, if you are not talking about healing, they said any other prayer you pray, we know that God answers prayer today. I said, okay, if God answers prayer today and provides today abundantly for the people that call on him, and he will not deny his word, his answer to prayer, miracle. They say yes, yes, okay. If God is still answering prayers today, then the age of miracles is not past. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so, but these ones, many of them said, he has a devil. You have to be very careful that you don't repeat gossip, the gossip of people, and the wrong notions of people. They say it, and you say it, you'll be like parrots. Now, in this age, there are people that will say things that are unfounded. Those things never, never, never happened. And you'll say, so and so did or said this and this. And you read that, you say, what? And without anybody pushing you, you also will take that chat, WhatsApp, or take that text, and then you send it to other people. That won't you will say, what? Something like this happening? And then they will take that and send to other people. They might be gossiping, blackmailing, or destroying somebody's name. They might be saying something that never happened. And then you are passing that on. You are like these people, like parrots. And you're saying what is not true about a minister, about a pastor, about an overseer, about their families. Well, when judgment comes on the originator of that email, the originator of that text, the originator of that charge, you'll share in the punishment, your share in the trauma, in the torment, because you said what was not true about other people. And when they said that about Christ, they said, many of them said, he has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Why hear ye him? Now, look at what God himself said. These people that just repeated what the Pharisees said, and they said, don't listen to him, don't hear him. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the clouds, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Father said, hear ye him. The Father commanded, hear ye him. And those people that were parroting what the Pharisees said, they said, why hear him? Don't hear him. But the Father said, hear ye him. The Father has commanded us that now all truth resides in Christ. In days gone by, he spake by the prophets in diverse ways, but now he speaks by his only Son, whom he has ordained. Hear him, you'll keep on hearing him. I will keep on hearing him. Look at number three here now. Number three, the pain of turning from their own mercy. The pain of turning from their own mercy. Christ came with mercy, with grace, with healing, with salvation, with new life. Christ came with the open door that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that was the mercy of God. But they shut the door against themselves. Jonah chapter 2, reading from verse 8. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Pharisees, Sadducees, all those Jews that listen to the Pharisees, and they shut the door of mercy, of salvation against themselves. Have you seen all those people in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And the people were bringing all their sick folks. The Pharisees never brought any one sick person unto Christ. They allowed their relatives, they allowed their relations, they allowed their people to die in their sicknesses. They will not bring their sick unto Christ. Have you noticed any of those Pharisees? They were there, and the power of God and the power of the Lord was mighty, present to heal. Even though he healed in their presence, they never said, I need healing too, I need miracle. Never. Because they shut the door of mercy against themselves. And then when they heard that they raised Lazarus from the dead, what did they do? They said, this man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, then all the people will flock after him. And then he will teach them not to fight. He will teach them to be meek and lowly. And then the Romans will take advantage of us. The Romans will come and take our nation from us. They prophesied it. That's why Titus, General Titus, came from Rome 70 AD and wiped them all away and scattered them. That's what they said. They did not seek the mercy, the miracle, of the Lord Jesus Christ, they close the door of mercy against themselves. Jonah chapter 2 verse 8, they that observed lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And look at Matthew chapter 23, I'm reading from verse 37. Matthew chapter 23 verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Look at verse 38. It says in verse 38, behold, I leave your house. Your house is left unto you desolate. I pray that will not happen to us. It will not happen to you. As the Lord is going about and touching every life and healing everyone, healing their soul, healing their spirit, healing their body, healing their families, your families will come and you will come. You will heal all your family. They will deliver everyone in Jesus' name. Can you imagine somebody is unhappy because of this and that? And what he is unhappy about, he didn't take it to the Lord in prayer to say, I directed my son to do this, to say this, not to do this, not to say this. If you are taking that thing to the Lord in prayer, he would have told you that thing that bothered you. It's not that man, the pastor, trying to, you know, do evil against you. He loves you. He asked you. But then you take that to heart, and now the global crusade is touching people everywhere. And then, you know, you stay in your house, you will not even look at the scene on your set. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about somebody else. And then, you know, the fellow will just, and then we ask, friend, what's the matter? God is at work. Great things are happening. Miracles that we never saw before. All these things are happening. Why are you not there? I'm not happy. Why, what are you not happy about? I'm not happy with the pastor. The way he, you know, he did it this way, or did not do this, did not do that. So I'm not happy with him. My brother, the one you are not happy with is happy with himself. He's happy with the Lord. He's happy, he's jumping about. He doesn't know that somebody is not happy, but he is happy. Am I happy? And then why are you hurting yourself? Forget about that. Even if the pastor was wrong, you know, the Lord is happy with him. He said, this is my servant, I sent him, and my favor is upon his life. Come and share of that favor. This miracle crusade, global crusade, is coming again. It's, you know, at Ilorin. And they say the campground, they say is a Yenkorin. Do you know Yenkori? The birds are singing. The angels are singing. The believers are singing. The sick, as they are healed, they are singing. The believers, they are singing. There's going to be joy, joy we never knew before in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of your closet and come out of that cage where you are, and the power of the Lord will walk in your life in Jesus' name. Don't say you're unhappy. Don't say this happened and that one did not happen. Good things are going to happen to you. And so Jesus said, because they locked the door against themselves, he said, all right, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Your family will not be left desolate. Your local church will not be left desolate. Your right hand, miracle. your left hand, miracle. All around you, miracle. And you at the center, miracle in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number three now. Point number three, we're looking at is taking the teachable and transformed as true members. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the intrusion of brothers and sisters from the human family. Number two, the integration of believers and saints in the heavenward flock. Number three, the integrity of burden bearers and servants on the harvest field. Let's look at number one. Number one, the intrusion of brothers and sisters from the human family. We're looking at Matthew chapter 12, reading from verse 46. While he yet talked, while he was yet preaching, while he was yet teaching the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And obviously, they themselves, they were not listening to his message. Well, it's Jesus, it's our brother. They were from the same human family. And they had family discussion. They have been talking about, this one is more important. Please, go tell him. We want his attention. You know, there are people like that. They think the time Christ was spending is too much. We're waiting here, wanting to come, stop all that talk, stop all that preaching, stop all that teaching, and come and attend to us, desiring to speak with him. Obviously, whatever they were going to talk would be earthly matter, human matter, mundane things, local things, temporary things. He was talking and teaching of heaven, of glory, of the kingdom. He was teaching something heavenly. They didn't put any good price on the heavenly thing or the earthly kind of thing they thought about. That's what they put value on. That's why they intruded into his ministry. But thank God they will not allow them. You will not allow them. You will know what's important. You will know what's essential. You will know what's high. You will know what's heavenly. And you will know what's of eternal value. And your concentration and your focus will be on eternal heavenly things in Jesus' name. Look at verse 47. In verse 47, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Look at verse 48. In verse 48, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? He had told the mother back in Luke chapter 2, why were you seeking for me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? And he was still in his father's business. There are some that will never learn the lesson. It happened before. And he told them, I must be about my father's business. He told them before, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He told them before, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can walk. They never got the message. But you know, if people don't get the message, and they come again with the same old demand, you must repeat the message and say, I am at my Father's work, and no intrusion will come between me and that Father's work. That's how the work of God will prosper your life in Jesus' name. Look at verse 48 again. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Look at Nehemiah chapter 6. We're looking at verse 3. Nehemiah chapter 6, looking at verse 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. Sambalat did not put that same value on the work Nehemiah was doing. You are the one to put value on the work you're doing. Tobias did not put that same value on the work Nehemiah was doing. You are the one to put the value on the work you're doing, the work of the kingdom. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down unto you? Look at verse 4. They will not give up, yet they sent unto me 4 times after they sought, and I answered them after the same manner. If they will not give up their intrusion, then you should not give up your own concentration. If they will not give up calling you out of the work, stop the work, don't do that again, don't do it again, do that again. If they are so adamant, then you too must be adamant as you do the work of God in Jesus' name. This work, that's how it will prosper in your hand. And that's how your reward on earth and your reward in heaven will be great, greater than you ever imagined in Jesus' name. Look at number two here. Number two is the integration of believers and saints in the heavenward flock. We're looking at Matthew chapter 12, verse 49. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my brother and my brethren. Verse 50, then he said in verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Doing the will of God. Are they here today? Where are they? The Lord says, you, brother, sister, mother, father there, doing the will of God, you are a member of the heavenward family. And all that the Father will do for his family, he will do in your life. He will do in my life. Look at number three. Number three here is the integrity of burden bearers and servants on the harvest field. It tells us in John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus answered them, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. That was his principle. That was his plan. That was his purpose. That was the thing that drove him on. My Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. And that should be your plan, your purpose, your goal, and your propelling force. My Father is still at work. My Savior is still at work. My Father walketh hitherto. My Savior walketh hitherto. And I walk. You'll keep on walking. Verse 30, in verse 30, it tells us, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 38. chapter 6, verse 38. John, chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. You are a sent man. You are a sent woman. And so the Lord has given you to his church and to his community, to our country, and to his creatures. He sent you, and what he has sent you to do, you will do. And you will succeed. Souls will come into the kingdom through you in Jesus' name. You will not stop your journey halfway. You will not get tired or weary and fall by the wayside in Jesus' name. The people that went before us, God granted them abundant grace, sufficient grace. Abundant grace, sufficient grace, it will grant to you in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, you will be what he has called you to be. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Are you hearing the amen there? You know, we make a great mistake when we're comparing ourselves with brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. I have run 1 mile. They have not run 1 mile yet. I'm going to rest. I'm going to wait. Let them run as far as I am run. You're making a great mistake. The grace in your life is greater. The calling upon your life is greater. The love of God put in your heart for souls that are perishing is greater. And your passion for souls that the Lord has given you is greater. So don't wait for other people. Keep on running. You will not run in vain. And so he said, the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. You know, Paul the apostle was quick to say, it's not my natural strength, it's not my natural force, it's not my constitution, it is the Lord, yet not I. But the grace of God which was with me, that grace of God will be with you. Amen. Will increase in your life. Verse 58, at the grace of God is renewed in your life. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. You know, Pharisees might say, you're running up and down. Where is the result? Don't answer them. Your labor is not in vain. You are leading this and leading this and going here and going and sacrificing this and sacrificing that. Where is the result? Don't answer them. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It will reward you. Abundantly, it will reward you. Where are you? Rise up and tell the Lord, I know my labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're serving the Lord faithfully, and it will bless you abundantly. Open your mouth, talk to the Lord in prayer with the understanding and conviction. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord.